The thing we witnessed in the aftermath of that vicious attack last year, and that I submit we are here today to celebrate, is precisely that sense of community, that enduring and transcendent display you and so many others showed last year of kindness and grace.
Welcome to America Tonight. It's been a year since that tragedy in Boston. Of course, the two bombs, the finish line, three people dead, and hundreds of others who were injured, missing limbs, and trying to, now a year later, still in many cases handle what has happened to them and get better and stronger with often new limbs that they've been given. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That was Governor Patrick, by the way, talking about the sense of community and where we are now today, a year later. Well, a year later, somebody also decided it was time to flip out at the Boston Marathon after there was the recognition of what happened last time around. Vice President Joe Biden was there. The former mayor, Tom Menino, was on hand, and a whole bunch of other people were on the streets in Boston Strong shirts and that kind of stuff. Well, there at the finish line, there was somebody else, too, a couple of hours later, who decided to have a backpack with a pressure cooker in it filled with confetti and left it unattended, of course. He was running around and had a black veil on his face and all kinds of crazy things. So he was arrested after leaving that backpack near the finish line, marking that one-year anniversary, and they had no choice but, as a precaution, to detonate it by a bomb squad as a way to make sure it was nothing else. And then they found the rice cooker in one of the bags and didn't talk about any of the contents of the second one and who it belonged to and all that kind of stuff. But they do have somebody in custody, and all really the police are saying about that is he obviously was not of sound mind. And he's going to be charged with disorderly conduct, disturbing the peace, and possession of a hoax device. He was stopped by a cop who saw him acting strangely, including walking down the middle of the street barefoot in pouring rain. And then it led to the backpack, and he was screaming Boston Strong and that kind of stuff. And it is, like I said, we just passed that one-year anniversary of the bombing. And you know, lo and behold, remember the Tsarnaev brothers? One died in the shootout with the cops several days after the bombings, and then Dzhokhar Tsarnaev has pled not guilty to 30 federal charges and is awaiting trial. He faces the death penalty. That happens in November, and the big race is coming up in less than a week. Hard to believe that here we are at this point. A couple of other things happening here and across the globe. I think the one thing on a lot of people's mind is the shooting in Kansas City, and there's not much to say there other than the 73-year-old has been processed and decided that he was going to, with a history of being a white supremacist, he was going to take out his rage on some people at two different Jewish community centers. Well, one was an assisted living facility and one was a community center. And the three people that were shot, now I've said this several times, and I'm sure all of you are aware of this, were not even Jewish. Either way, it would have been horrific and was wrong. There's no question. A 14-year-old boy and a doctor and a woman with two children, all known to be helpful in the community. And just the shock, I think, and the horror of all that is just reverberating there. And it brings up the whole hate crime thing. And while there are arguments as to hate crime and the definition of it and all of that, clearly with hate crime on the books, this is definitely one of those. And that's what's being pursued. And for once, it does absolutely match up, I think. And, you know, what ultimately becomes of the Frazier Glenn Cross, the guy who decided he was going to take the shotgun and do what he did, and how those families bounce back from it, we'll see as this progresses. But he requested a court-appointed lawyer. He was in court. His He's being held on $10 million bond. The next court appearance isn't until deeper into April. And like I said, Kansas City is trying to deal with this senseless crime. It just makes no sense. And this guy Cross, too, he's a 73-year-old Vietnam War vet from southwest Missouri. And but he has ties where he founded the Carolina Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, and he was part of the White Patriot Party, and he was actually shouting a Nazi slogan at a TV camera when he was arrested on Sunday after the killings, and it really shocked that city, rocked it, because right now we're in Passover, and it refocused attention on some of the things that have been happening and that related to hate crimes. And he had an interesting background as far as with law enforcement and tracking him down for something else that happened with a paramilitary camp and whatnot. And I'm sure this all plays out. And I've mentioned this too. Strangely enough, he ran for the House in 2006 and the Senate in 2010 in Missouri. And his platform was white power. Every time he ran, it was white power. That's what, that's what that was about. So the time when it couldn't be the holiest of holier times for Christians, and that's what all three of those people were, active Christians. They, this is Holy Week, where you have Good Friday and you have Easter capping things off on Sunday. And these were three family people who had, even the 14-year-old, who had deep ties to a lot of people in the community, gone from the planet, poof, just like that. Just, unbelievable. I said also that we were going to go off the shores and tell you about something that a lot of Americans are talking about not getting involved in, and that's the situation in the Ukraine. What's happening there is provoking or not provoking. Putin and Obama had a call the other day, and right now at this point, they're holding back on any kind of what they're calling non-lethal military aid to the Ukraine for fear that it might inflame what's already an incredibly tense situation. So there are some that think enough is not being done. There's a critical report that details some requests that were sent to Congress and the White House by retired General Wesley Clark and former Defense Department official Philip Carber. The Washington Free Beacon was reporting that. They're saying that both of them were in the Ukraine, and they wrote that the U.S. government had turned down requests for everything from body armor to night vision goggles to even communications equipment, and that the administration was concerned that that would be provoking, and they think that they should reverse that, that it's seriously flawed to think that way, and it would help the people in the Ukraine. And this is happening as Moscow is playing into the unrest in the eastern area there with all the troops that they have hovering around. And whether or not they'll end up with that land grab, there certainly are several separatists who have seized control of government buildings, and the situation, needless to say, is not good. But how deep should we go on this one? If you want to throw in your 2 cents, 855-266-5283. Meet you on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Amanda Bosold here from Midas Resources. Today, April 4th, 2014, gold opened at $12.97.60. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $13.44.77, $6.72.38 for a half ounce, or $3.36.19 for a quarter ounce. Again, that's $13.44.77, $6.72.38, and $3.36.19.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Well, it's now hard and confused because maybe you've been starting to losing out on everything you might try to do. That luck fella's got to hold on you. So spend your money, about to lose your home. Done lost your woman and everything you own. The chances go around. But if you want to know the truth about it, I'll tell you what's wrong with you. God, yeah.
Yeah, bad luck is what Detroit is trying to ditch. This is an interesting story. As you know, a lot of cities are going bankrupt, and a lot of that has to do with the pensions that are due. So Detroit's emergency manager and the retired police and firefighters actually came to a deal, an agreement, on Tuesday, which is huge because they're trying to get out of this bankruptcy. And there were bankruptcy mediators that say the agreement with the retired cops and firemen was the first that they had reached with anyone representing retirees. But the thing here is they've got about 6,500 members, and they represent about 80% of Detroit's retired public safety workers. Throw that into that category, too. And until the deal, they would have had, under this deal, the way it was looking, they were going to really be drowning and they had no choice. But by cutting the deal, they would have no cuts to the current pension benefits. They would get nearly half of their cost of living increases going forward. The city, as all of you know, filed for bankruptcy last summer, and they're talking with other groups and workers to try to figure it out. And they're apparently close and agree to a couple of different things. They cut the police and the fire pensions up to 14%. They eliminated, as I said, the COLA increases. And they talk about going deeper for the general city workers and retirees, 34%. Wow. And deep cuts in health benefits. But the way they are now, the way it sits now, is it better to have something rather than nothing? Because they're getting ready to send out these ballots to tens of thousands of creditors, because they have tons of them, including the city workers, who are going to be asked to vote in favor of cutting their pension benefits. So a no vote results in deeper pension cuts, though. And the kid, it's interesting. I saw an example of it. Because you say, well, what does that mean? So, for example, you have a fire captain, right? That's what he did. 62 years old. He gets about $45,000 a year from his pension. So he said he would definitely vote for the deal. He said there's no way he'd say no. You'd be crazy not to take it because they see that if you go down the Yellowbrook Road, it'll be worse. But there are some that are saying, no, you got to keep bargaining with this. But there's not much to bargain with when you don't have any money left, right? So they're trying to rise from the ashes, and there's not a lot that you can do. So this is a big step for Detroit to have them come together to figure it out and figure out what they can do and how much they can take. I mean, what a brutal thing. You get to the, you know, it's like that timing deal. Hey, it is what it is. You get to the end of the line. You're not expecting to have to deal with this, but if this is the reality, so flame out or figure a way out of it. You know, especially when you're talking about medical, somebody retiring, what the medical is going to be and all that entails. So the fire captain was right. If you're sitting there over a barrel, what are you going to do? Would it be better to let the city keep drowning and get nothing? Because eventually that's what would happen. Especially Detroit, they're really headed for that because they are off the rails, thanks in part to Kwame Kilpatrick, who wasn't helping the situation, was just bilking the city when he was the mayor, did nothing for that city, and look where it got them. But he's not the only reason why. There are other reasons behind that, too. They got to get people back there. They have to figure out ways to get it to thrive again. It's strange. It's like atrophying this city that was built on cars and, you know, 40 years ago looks nothing like it does. It's like a dead zone, some of those areas of the city. Sad to go through it and see it. I've been to Detroit several times, and it's now it's depressing to see what some of the areas, frankly, look like. And there are other places that can just look at what's happened with Detroit and see their future if they're not careful with what they, decide to do when they're in this thorny situation. Speaking of a thorny situation, this is a story that exploded when it was revealed what was happening with the New York police, where they were surveilling certain mosques in the city. They were spying on them, and this has gone on for a long time. There was a certain outrage to that, even though there were ties to certain terrorists or whatever that had yielded some, that had been effective in the beginning, let's put it that way. So the new police commissioner, William Bratton, said, yeah, I'm putting an end to it. You had undercover cops following Muslims around the city, and they were creating maps where Muslims would gather for social time and meals, and they were checking license plates at mosques and ordering informants to videotape sermons. And it was called the Demographics Unit. It had about 12 people, and it was formed after 9/11 with the help of a CIA officer, and they had a bunch of intelligence that they got from the unit, but the community said, listen, this violates our rights. The Demographics Unit, they've got documents of everything, of what happened with some of the people that they followed. And now, here's part of this. Two federal lawsuits have been filed because of that program, and they're in the courts. And there's a good chance that they're going to lose a ton of money on that. So Bratton certainly is no dummy. He knew that. And they discussed the plans and decided, okay, we're going to end it. We're comfortable. We feel okay with this. We're going to end this. And we're going to sit down with the community and listen to their concerns instead of having the secret demographic unit. But the unit did prove fruitful when they went to some Muslim groups on college campuses, and they had contact information and names, and certain things led to some big pieces of information that helped them with weeding out a few people that maybe they wouldn't have found. But then that goes back to the whole proving it kind of thing. and the former NYPD commissioner Ray Kelly loved it. He said that it was, he said to the public flat out, it's legal and it helps keep the city safe. But Bill de Blasio, the new mayor, said he was troubled by it. The surveillance is at the mosque. Now he doesn't have to worry about it because it's not even an issue anymore. Now, the Los Angeles Police Department, they had plans to do the surveillance on Muslims in 2007. But Bratton was the chief of the department, and he ended the program before it started. And it's fair to say, fair or foul, because what is it yielding? And I don't know, are there the rights being violated? So you live in America and you think, okay, but what about the people who have no ill intention? This is like that whole profiling thing. That's why it's interesting the name was demographics. Because how long are you going to push that? And with lawsuits, I mean, the lawsuits could really kick wide open. Two lawsuits could turn into, multiply into many more lawsuits because of the whole surveillance thing. Especially they'd have to, again, prove that it yielded something, why they were tracking down leads, who they were picking on, who they were following, how did they decide who those people were, and, I mean, nothing but questions would get knocked out because of that, and I think that's part of the reason that Bratton decided to fold it, because he knew, hey, there's some things here that we can't answer. There's some things here that are just not going to make sense, so we got to clobber this while we still can. Coming up on America Tonight, with Easter coming up and Passover, we're in the middle of it right now, John Allen Turner is going to talk about some of the craziest stories that never get discussed when you talk about the Bible. There are things that, as a pastor, somebody who goes around and preaches, he talks about, but he says that it's unbelievable how certain things that are there in the Bible are just avoided for reasons of being uncomfortable or not wanting to have to go there. He says we should go there, and he talks about the reasons why and talks about some of those stories that he would put on the craziest list. That's next on America Tonight.
You know the average family throws away an estimated $2,500 of food each year? Want to save that money? Well, now you can with your own freeze dryer. Right, a freeze dryer from Harvest Right allows you to freeze dry fruits, vegetables, meats, even full meals, and save a bundle. Don't throw away leftovers. Freeze dry them with an in-home freeze dryer from Harvest Right. Go to HarvestRight.com to see how the amazing freeze dryer works. Again, that's HarvestRight.com.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Contact me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. MBROWER at GCNLive.com. That's MBROWER at GCNLive.com.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $33,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $33,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Conversations about Easter and the meaning of Easter and that kind of thing. Joining us is a terrific guest. I can't wait to talk to this guy. Pastor. He's a pastor. And he has a really different way of viewing things. I think an interesting way. John Allen Turner is a writer. He's a consultant. He's a teacher. He's a pastor, as I mentioned, and a senior fellow for the Scream Free Institute. Crazy Stories. Same God is his latest book, and we're going to talk about Easter and what you don't know, some of the crazy things that really aren't talked about that much that I find fascinating. Thanks so much for coming on, John. We appreciate it.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Kate.
All right, so give us an example of all the things that you saw, and there's probably three, four, five, a whole bunch of them. What of all the stories in the Bible, what is the craziest story that doesn't get really flushed out enough when pastors, priests, whoever are talking about it?
You know, there are so many of these stories. That really was the hardest part, was not selecting 30 of them, but only limiting it to 30. And sometimes when the stories come out of our mouths, that's when we realize, oh, this does sound weird, you know, stories about circumcision and stories about, you know, a fish that swallows a guy whole. And, oh, yeah, God comes to this old man and says, you know that son I gave you? Would you take him up on top of that mountain and kill him for me? That's a crazy story, right? Then we talk about them as if it's the most normal thing in the world, you know. But to me, the craziest story of all is the one that everyone's thinking about this week, and it's the story of Jesus. Like, if Jesus is who the Bible claims he is, I mean, just think about that, that God would choose to come to earth, and that he could have chosen any way he wanted, but instead he chooses to come as a fetus, right, and swim around in amniotic fluid for 9 months. And then when he's born to this peasant couple that can't find anywhere to sleep, and they're sleeping in a barn or a stable or a cave or something, wherever the animals are. And he grows up as a peasant, and then he lets the people he made kill him. That's crazy. It doesn't make any sense unless we start to ask ourselves, okay, maybe this story isn't about the people of God. Maybe the story is about the God of the people. So what do I learn about the God of the people from this story that I wouldn't have learned otherwise? And that's kind of the premise of the book.
Yeah, I love that, the God of the people. So when you look at the resurrection, and as you said, everybody's thinking about Jesus this week, what's your analogy? What do you draw from that that you tell people?
Well, you think about it. Here's a God who allows himself to be killed, even though he's done nothing wrong. And then 3 days later, he shows up. He's eating fish on the beach with his friend. And to me, it shows me the length to which this God will go. The ridiculous length. And I mean that literally. He subjects himself to ridicule. And he goes to those lengths just so that he can have a relationship with us. So in a sense, what God is saying through the crucifixion is, I would rather die than live without you. And then through the resurrection, that's sort of God validating Jesus and saying, Jesus really was telling the truth. And what it is it's an historical event that then people can verify and research and figure out, do I really believe this happened or not? And if it did happen, what are the implications of that? And I think that's what we all have to wrestle with this week.
Do you think it's harder for adults to believe that story or children? Because I have a philosophy. I think children, when you tell them stories like how you're talking, I think, John, you really reach kids. They can picture that in their head, and they might have to wrestle with the idea of it. But, you know, they sort of get it. Oh, I understand what you're saying there. I think it's harder sometimes with adults, but you're in the business. Which is harder?
You know, I think we kind of learn our way out of wonder, and we have a sense that if something is too good to be true, it probably isn't true, and we think there's got to be a rabbit in that hat somehow or other. You know, like we feel like we've been tricked so many times that we don't want to fall for it again. But there's something in most adults, I think, that wants it to be true, but is also afraid that if it's true, there are implications for my life.
Yeah. Or how about if it's true and I'm not believing, I'm in trouble because, well, whoops, I chose the wrong way. You know, you hear that jokingly, but
really,
seriously.
Yeah, exactly. If, you know, what's the harm in believing it? Now, nobody wants to believe a lie. And this is one of the great things about Christianity, is that Christianity actually encourages, at least I would say healthy Christianity, encourages people to ask those questions and dig around a little bit and read some history and see what you can find out. And the Christian faith is, I frequently say, is an anvil that has been wearing out hammers for 2,000 years. If you've got questions, bring it. Christianity is not afraid of your questions. In fact, it encourages you to ask them.
Yeah, I agree with you, absolutely. All right, one of the craziest stories, and when I was a kid, I loved this story, and of course now we've seen it on the big screen, is Noah and the
right.
Ark. I mean, awesome
yeah.
story. When you're a kid, you just are, wow, you are lapping that up. You want to know more. I told this story, John, on the air, and I'm not kidding you. This is how much I remember it. I remember there was a gas station in the East Coast, a chain of gas stations called Arco, and they were giving away ARCs. When you got so many, every time you went to pull in and get gas, you got another pair of animals. So you better believe I was all about, let's go get gas, Dad. I want some more. I want the zebras. And I had that ARC, and I had that ARC forever. So
yeah.
Well, of all the stories, is Noah the one that really hits home with kids especially?
I think so, but the version that I tell in my book includes a little scene at the end that usually gets left out of the children's Bible version. Because in the children's Bible version, the flood comes and then the waters, you know, evaporate, and then they come out of the ark and there's a rainbow in the sky and they all live happily ever after. But in the Bible, there's actually a little scene at the end, because the first thing that Noah does when he gets out of the ark is he plants a vineyard, he grows some grapes, He makes some wine. He drinks too much. He passes out naked in his tent with his wife. And then his son comes in and does something with his mom, which we probably shouldn't talk about on public radio. Mm-hmm. And then Noah wakes up and realizes what's happened. And he curses his unborn grandson. And that is the part of the story that usually we skip because we like it with the rainbow and the happily ever after. And I put the nice bow on the story. But the story is in the Bible to illustrate to people, okay, what is God going to do now? Now that these people, we've wiped out the human population except for this one family, and they're still screwed up. So what is God going to respond? How is he going to respond to this? And that sets us up for the beginning of this story with Abraham, which becomes the Israelites from whom Jesus comes, and then the whole world gets saved. But we don't get there until we recognize that Noah and his family and the animals weren't the only things on that ark. Their evil and their sin went in the ark with them, and God's got to figure out what to do with that.
So well told. What is your favorite story? What is your favorite craziest story?
There's a story about Jesus where Jesus and his friends have been working all day, and Jesus says, I'm tired. Let's get in a boat. Let's go to the other side of the lake. And they get there, and Jesus is so tired, as soon as they shove off, Jesus falls asleep. And then this storm comes up, and everybody knows that story, right, where the storm threatens to capsize the boat, and they wake Jesus up, and he calms the storm, and his friends are like, what is going on here? I don't know who this guy is. They get to the other side of the lake. It's like 10 o'clock at night. It's pitch black. And as soon as they get on dry land, this dude comes running at them out of the cemetery with chains and shackles, and he's naked, and they're freaking out. It's like a zombie is running at them and calling Jesus all kinds of names and stuff. Jesus looks at this guy and says, shut up. And the guy shuts up, and then Jesus gets into the conversation with these demons that are inside this guy. And Jesus says, you need to leave this guy alone. And they said, well, can we go in those pigs over there? There's a herd of pigs nearby. And Jesus says, okay, go get in the pigs. And they jump into the pigs, and this herd of pigs runs down the hill into the lake, and they drown themselves and die. And the people come out of the city, and they say to Jesus, you have to go. You have to leave. You're freaking everybody out doing stuff like that. We can't have you here. You have to go. So Jesus gets in the boat, and they leave. And while they're getting in the boat to leave, this guy who has had demons in him, who's now in his right mind, comes to Jesus and he says, hey, can I come with you? Jesus says, no. Your family's going to be worried about you. You need to go back and you need to show them and you need to tell them what happened here. And the guy goes back. And Jesus, the next time he shows up to that city, there are 5,000 people. It's where Jesus feeds the 5,000. Again, a story that everybody's familiar with. But what happens in that city between the time when they ask him to leave, virtually run him out of town on a rail, and then the next time he shows up, there are 5,000 people who want to hear him teach and want to hang out with him so long that Jesus has to feed them lunch. The only thing I can figure is that guy who used to have all those demons inside of him ran around and told everybody what happened. And that to me is a beautiful story about how God kind of weaves all of those things. He uses screwed up people because that's the only kind of people there are. And he weaves our story into his story.
I like that. I agree. That's my new favorite story now. All right, so if somebody wants to pick up a copy of your book, where can they go?
They can go to Amazon.com. They can go to Barnes & Noble. They can come to my website, johnallenturner.com. Amazon.com is probably the easiest for everybody. In fact, the Kindle version is on sale right now for $2.99.
Perfect. $2.99 is perfect for Easter. Crazy story, same God. It was such a delight talking to you. John Allen Turner, happy Easter, and thanks for coming on ATN.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. You have a good night.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
On this show anyway, big news, I think, when a college athlete who just won a national championship says that he's starving. Yeah, we're talking about the star Connecticut guard, Shabazz Napier, who complained during the Final Four that he went to bed starving because he couldn't afford the food. So guess what happened? The NCAA, their legislative council, approved a proposal Tuesday to expand meal allowance for the athletes. Yeah, we gave him $1 a day, but I think it says something about his, about what he had to say. I mean, here he is in the national championship game. They win the title. He's named the most outstanding player, and he talks about that, he didn't have enough to eat. I mean, that's crazy. So they need to flip that around, and they're talking about changing that, obviously. Matt, you saw this story, and it just was the craziest thing to hear that he went to bed hungry when you think of the millions of dollars that are flying into Connecticut and to other schools, big-time schools, because of the athletes.
Yeah, and I mean, eventually the whole system will have to be redone and changed because there's so much money in college athletics. Yep. Now that it's ridiculous, and when you have, you know, people who don't who come from like lower incomes that are going into college that don't have money. You know, you can't call mom and dad and get a loan. You don't have a credit card that you can just buy food with or anything. Then it creates a problem, especially when you have these coaches and the universities making all that money. And just think about the, what was the recent like NCAA TV deal? It was like $10 billion. That's all profit
for a
non-profit agency that is the NCAA. It's an education system that it has $10 billion in profit from a TV deal. And yet they're saying that they can't afford to pay athletes. You could. It's just then your school doesn't make as much money. Then your president doesn't make as much money. The commissioners of the league don't make as much money. It's like that's where the money will come from. And it's absurd to have coaches making millions of dollars
millions.
A year. And the product, the actual product, which is the athletes, you get nothing. And if you get, you know, an extra sandwich from some restaurant, then you get suspended. And if your coach leaves, you can't transfer. But if the coach wants to leave your school, he can go at a moment's notice to take more money somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane. They have to pay them something. It's not that they have to pay them outrageous amounts of money, but these kids are like workhorses. And because of how they've built, because of their athletic prowess, let's face it, that's how it's built up some of these programs and then allowed these coaches better recruiting and everything else and the big giant salaries that you're talking about. And they absolutely need to turn around. And I know the argument is about, though, you know this, about the scholarships. Well, hey, they're getting scholarships. But I don't care. They're doing two-a-days and crazy amounts of work to be where they are.
And it's different now than it was, you know, 30, 40 years ago. I mean, this is a billion-dollar, you know, multi-billion-dollar, like, endeavor where it's just football, basketball especially. And then, yes, you have lesser sports that don't really make as much money. But the fact is that, I mean, the kids are the product. And if I go out and I buy a, you know, Shabazz jersey from UConn, he doesn't get a cut of that.
Uh-uh.
If he goes in the NBA, then he does. But because he's still a student, he doesn't make any money. UConn makes all the money from that. The NCAA makes the money off of him.
Right, absolutely. So that's just not right. There, yeah. However you parcel this out, it's not. There has to be some equity in that. I mean, it's interesting. The athletes are really sticking up for themselves as they should be, or people around them are encouraging them to stick up for themselves, like Northwestern wanting to form a union. So, the times are changing, and I think that they have to wake up to what those times are for sure. You might disagree or you might agree. You can flip in a call if you want, 855-266-5283, or shoot us an email, because I know a lot of you will be thinking about this later. And if you do, send me an email at americatonight.net. Click on contact, and bada bing, you are in just like that. Matt, there's something else I wanted to ask you about since we're on a little bit of a sports shorts roll here. Now they've got replay in Major League Baseball. I was at a game where they used replay, and it actually went in favor of the hometown where there was a player that was stealing second, and he was ruled safe, but clearly he was out, and you could tell by the crowd. They looked at the replay, reversed it, made him out. Made a big difference in the game. But is replay overall working, do you think?
I don't think so, because of the way the system is right now, it doesn't work. It takes too long, and then it not only does it take too long when someone issues a challenge, I guess, but then the process in between that, if there's a close play, you'll see that I've watched not a ton of baseball this year, but enough games to see this happen several times where the manager will go out on the field, basically stall, get the message from the bench whether or not he should challenge it, and then he goes ahead. And it takes too long. In football, it's just a boom, boom, and it's the next play. But in baseball, since there is so much time in between innings, or not innings, in between plays and pitches, the manager can go out there, stall for a little bit, and then all of a sudden you create like a 5-10 minute delay.
Yeah, exactly. So it is kind of now a new delay tactic, perhaps. So they have to refine it if they're keeping it, which they are, because, of course, Bud Selig, who is just the commissioner finishing out this season, says that it's terrific, it's really worked well, and there are other people that are just heaping praise on it, but I agree they got to tweak it. And the game's already long to begin with.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's the one thing that people have always complained about baseball
how
is
long?
Games taking too long. Now they're already taking too long, and now they're taking even longer because of this process. And I mean, have you seen the fake stall before?
Where, yeah.
I mean, it's absurd, and I don't know what the solution is because you can't really say like a manager can't come out, but I mean, you either have to limit how many times he can come out or something because something needs to be done. And I say they need to act like the NHL does, where the NHL, they can put in a rule and make it effective that week, and they just change this before, like, the month's over.
Yeah, I agree. They need to work on that for sure. If it's going to be around, then they need to tweak it without a doubt. All right, just a couple of interesting observations from the cheap seats. Like I said, you can throw in at AmericaTonight.net. Ending on a final non-sports note here, the crazy Google Glass, you know, we talk about technology on the show. Well, for the first time, Google Glass was made available to the public as part of a one-day-only offering. Anyone in the U.S. could buy the $1,500 face-mounted computers and get a free pair of glass or sunglass frames. So they won't share what the numbers were, but supposedly the Google Glass sales site crashed. Customers were turned away. Google did say it sold out of the white or the cotton color of glass. As of Tuesday afternoon, they had red, blue, gray, and black options. And, you know, the whole Google Glass things, it's that head-mounted glass that you walk around with, and you can operate that way, which it's crazy to look at when you see, especially if you go to Silicon Valley or in San Francisco, you could tell people who probably were beta testing Google because you'd see them walking around with it. They launched that like a year ago, and they've been tweaking it since then. And there were minor things with the photo sharing and feedback and all of that, but they've been able to work that out. And it just shows you how people are just crazy for technology and for students, for travelers, for whoever. They say that that's how great is this for them. But I think it's very strange to see people that are walking around with this glass in front of their face and they're actually playing games or doing other things. It's just, it's almost like sci-fi, but it's really here. I mean, is it creepy? Is it good news? Is it bad news? I think it's a little creepy. Sometimes technology can be creepy, I'll just say that.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.